gentleman alcoholic. Was writing dated December 25th of 07. My homeroom is Melville King Kings in Long Island. If you guys want to come out, feel free. Tuesdays or Saturdays at 7. And I had a sponsor, res a sponsor. A quick little background. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My dad drank. I thought it was pretty normal. My mother is just a nice codependent, not a drinker. So it was a good mix. And my dad was physically, mentally, and verbally abusive pretty much my whole life. You know, it was chaos growing up constantly. You know, holidays for me coincided with an appliance in the house getting broken, or like a window or something like that. My parents claimed they were getting divorced that night, and the next day my dad would just fix whatever he broke, and everything would be okay again. And it just kind of went on for years like that. My parents are both immigrated here from Italy when they were kids. So as far as like American customs, like hygiene for your kids and like the dentist, all this kind of cool stuff that the rest of my friends had, I didn't get. You know, I was the fat, smelly kid with really crazy hair. And I kind of felt really awkward from the beginning. I knew I was different. Like, there was no question from the get-go. I was like, these kids have my clothes that like, look nice and fit them, and I just look crazy. And around second grade, I got something called Bell's palsy, so I had nerve damage on the left side of my body, and my entire face drooped down. And the only thing about second grade is they're not too nice, the kids look different. So my self-esteem was non-existent by the time I was at like grade school. And it kind of kept going on like that. I ended up losing weight around eighth grade. I got into like sports and stuff like that, and I found an identity for myself. Other than the one I once had, which was just like, not one. It was me by myself in my basement playing video games, petrified by the kids. And, you know, I had a beard by 13, 14. And I was a little bit of a computer nerd, and I figured out how to make fake IDs. So it became really easy for me to get alcohol, and it made it a way to make friends. You know, you, if you want, you know, booze for your party, pay for my bottle, I'll get you whatever you want, no problem. And that's how I started socializing. You know, alcohol was really my way of getting, you know, around other people and like feeling useful and a part of and cool and popular, whatever you want to call it. And it kept going. You know, I found friends that drank like me from the get-go. I couldn't understand why people had 2 beers. I couldn't understand why you wouldn't want to get wasted and forget what happened. You know, I drank not to feel. I didn't drink to fit in, to feel comfortable. I drank so I wouldn't exist, and like that was my goal. My parents ended up getting divorced in high school, which worked out real well for my drinking. My dad would leave the house at 6 a.m. and come home at 6 p.m., so if I didn't go to school, nobody knew. Like, it went on like this for senior and junior year, but I almost didn't graduate. And after high school, I got a job at a mortgage company. When I got fired from Best Buy, my ninth final warning. I didn't get 9 final warnings of a job. If you're really good at what you do, if you can't show up on time, they kind of work with you. But it was always just pretty much, I show up 10, 15 minutes late, hungover, whatever, so drunk. I remember my boss pulls me into his office and he's like, you know, what is wrong with you? I'm like, what? He goes, you're making me look like a jackass every time you show up 15, 20 minutes late. And I'm like, so stop scheduling me at 11. Like, that makes perfect sense, right? Like, man, you know I drink. You should schedule me at 2. I should be closing. I have no business. I need you here anytime before noon. And he looks at me and like, he just disgusts and passes me the form of like sign this and like he fired me. And it was almost like, wait, no, come on, I ain't fired. Like, I'm awesome at my job. Like, I thought, I always felt like if I was, you know, really good at something, it should make up for the other stuff I did. You know, if I was a, you know, if I showed up for my family at family parties and looked decent in a suit, it didn't matter that I got wasted and passed out the table at 14. Like, that was okay. I dressed the part, I got there, I was good for the pictures, leave me alone anyway. But that doesn't really work. So after that, I got a job at this mortgage company, and I thought it was like, you know, when Bill talks about he had arrived, I had arrived in my head. You know, I was 18, I had a business card, and I wore a suit to work. I was an adult. And everybody I worked with, they didn't drink at work, there was no alcohol, but there was all sorts of pills being passed around, and it was fantastic. because I thought this is what you did. You do drugs during the day, you drink at night, and that's how people do their lives. And I thought it was awesome. Sign me up, let me keep doing this. And I did that for a couple of years. And I became just an emotional, physical wreck, you know. I had all sorts of issues prior to that. I caught an assault charge when I was 18. It was drug and alcohol related. I was drunk when I could get up. And, you know, I got sent to outpatient. And, you know, they're telling me, like, you probably have a problem. You know, your alcoholism in your family, you know, you don't seem to drink normally. You can't seem to remember your sobriety. You know, like, I was in this outpatient. I'd be lying about my sobriety and I couldn't remember. You know, they'd come around the room and they'd be like, so, yo, how long have you been sober? It's been so long, I can't remember. Being sober now, I'm like, wow, what a jackass I must look like. But at the time, I thought it was perfectly normal. And I remember there was like older people in the room, like, how old are you? Like 18. They're like, well, you got plenty of years ahead of you. I'm like, see, these guys have been talking about. You know, and this one guy, I remember he shared about, he would sit at his table every night, drinking, trying to solve all the world's problems. And later on, my sobriety that became me by myself, my drinking became me by myself drinking. In my room, trying to solve the world's problems, wondering how it's miserable. And back in May of 06, I was coming home from a bar with two friends of mine. I came around a bend, and next thing I know, my windshield's broken. And everybody in the car starts panicking. They were asking, did we hit somebody? Did we hit? I didn't want to think I hit someone. And I kept driving, and I got home, told my friends to go home, me and my friend looked in my car, and we kind of came to terms with it, but we didn't want to believe that we had hit someone. And we shut my garage door and went inside and went to sleep. Next day, 5 hours later, 8 a.m., cops at my door. And I had hit someone that was walking, and the guy got me in the back. It almost seems, I think as more time goes by, it's harder for me to see the realness of it, because I have a hard time imagining what I was thinking and what I was doing. I was on like every local news channel. It was the craziest chaos of the day. It was Mother's Day too, so like every Mother's Day, I get my mom really nice stuff now. I keep some humor in this because you know what? I didn't get sober to be miserable. I'm fortunate because I'm in front of you that, I ended up going to trial. I remember being in the jail cell and looking up at God and like, man, I'm done. Tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm shot. My week sucks. I just keep getting arrested. I keep getting my parents kicking me out. I don't know what to do anymore. And the next day I get bailed out and my whole family's at my mom's house and I'm like, so what do we need to do for you? What help do you need? And I'm fighting these words from coming out of my mouth and I just got to stop drinking. There was never a question that I had a problem with alcohol. I never touched some dry goods because I was so afraid of them because I couldn't control alcohol. And I knew that. And I wasn't ready to die yet. I ended up going back and forth between jail for about a little over a year. Trial a little over a year. Finally got sentenced. I only got charged with even seeing an accident with a fatality versus a vehicle manslaughter because they couldn't prove I was drunk. And it's something I carried. I got a second chance most people didn't get. I got to do a little jail time to come home. And the crazy thing is after all that, after all this law, money problems, all these things, I got out, I remember that day I got adjusted and they said to me, you gonna drink tonight? I said, I don't know. And I didn't know, I didn't have any plans. I was like, yeah, I'm going to the bar tonight. I don't know. And I ended up at a bar that night. I got drunk. There was no defense. There was no reason why I shouldn't. It never popped into my head. I was like, well, I'm not driving, so what's the problem? I should be okay, right? And I went on like that back and forth. And finally, I saw a family friend who was a spiritual healer, and I tell this guy my story. And he looks at me, and his jaw is dropping down the entire time, telling him about all the stuff that's happening to me. And like, most people usually give a little tack and say, oh, okay. This guy's just like, wow. You're a screwed up life kind of thing. And I'm like, okay? And at the end, he looks at me and goes, don't drink. I'm like, that's your solution. I'm like, I have a destroyed life. What do you want me to do? He's like, don't drink. He's like, I know a lot of people that have problems like you. They stopped drinking and left, you know. I believe it's due to something. You know, I ended up having to go to outpatient for probation, and I went there, and I had a counselor that I was fortunate that was in AA. And I kept telling him about these crazy thoughts I had, and like all these feelings that I don't know what to deal with if they go to meetings. I'm like, how's that going to help? Like, just go. And I remember the AA people came in to speak to my outpatient. And this guy says, he's like, you know, if you go to enough meetings and you listen, you know, you'll find someone that doesn't look like you, may not sound like you, they may not even be the same gender, but they'll tell you a life story, and then you'll know you're not alone. And for some reason, that hung on, you know, and I thought that was just like the craziest thing. Because in my head, nobody knew what it was like to be me, you know, especially when I came in here, I saw other young people. I was like, what's your big problem? Parents kick you out? You got, you know, college? I got real problems. Old people, you drank for 30 years. You're a party. I'm not going to have time with you. And I was by myself, you know, and miserable. But I hung on and I stayed here for some reason. And eventually, after a couple years of sobriety, I kind of hit a plateau where I didn't know what to do. And God did what I can do for myself. I was at a job that was running me ragged, and he took that job away. Took away some money too at the same time, which I wasn't too happy about. I was happy the job was gone, not so much the money. And you know, my life kind of took a turn, and I ended up moving down to Florida for about a year and a half, where I somehow ended up living with my dad, who still drinks, which I wasn't really thinking about when I did it. Like, I kind of moved there, and I realized, like, wait, if you still drink, this might be chaotic. And, you know, something like that, and that was a bad relationship with my dad. You know, I've struggled with that a lot over the years, where I was like, you know, I got sober, what's wrong with you, why can't you get your shit together? And it's just, you know, I hate the disease, and I love the person. The other thing I got going for was I got sucked up with YPOP. Like, I avoided young people in New York when I lived here. I went there. Next thing I know, it was all my friends. I got involved with the conference. I got involved with service on a different level. And it was, you know, probably the most rewarding thing I've done in sobriety. And it just kind of taught me how to have fun. You know, I feel like adults, quote unquote, in AA, taught me how to stay sober from day to time. And young people taught me how to have fun. I came in here just for my 22nd birthday, and I was not excited about not drinking anymore. I thought, you know, it wasn't the fact that I knew I couldn't drink anymore, but I didn't think it was a solution. You know, it was like, okay, I can't drink anymore, but you're taking away not only the alcohol, but you're taking away my lifestyle. What do you plan on giving me now? And I was fortunate to develop more of a relationship with my higher power, which is called God, during sobriety, and to see the you know, God's always tying my back. You know, when I, there's been tragic things that happened left and right in my life. But when I kind of let see everything play out, they're always in my best interest. You know, when I lost that job, I gained a relationship with my dad and got a better job afterwards. So it was a bad thing. You know, I've seen, you know, I know when I get put into a situation I don't like, there's something I gotta learn. You know, I just moved back a couple months ago for work, back to Long Island. And if you knew, which means, like, I was staying at my mom's, and it's my mother, my sister, and my 9-year-old niece. I'm kind of like the pain in the ass that's there to them. And it was hard for me to understand, like, you know, why do I have to do this? You know, I've gone through so much, and I'm trying to stay humble, and it was just, you know what? I'm trying to figure out why my sister wouldn't just be nice to me. And some I've learned in sobriety, like, when I work on relationships, they get worse. When I work on myself, my relationships get better. You know, when I stop focusing on, like, how can I make somebody else happy, or how can I get them to see it the way I want, I just do what I need to do for me, everything seems to come full circle. You know, the steps were crucial for me, because I had to realize that I didn't know what was going on, and somebody else had a better way. And, you know, the ability to open up to another person and to actually share all these things that I thought was going to take to the grave, it was a freeing thing, you know, and reminding myself, you know, I got to do 1, 2, and 3 daily, because if I don't, I'm left to my own devices. You know, sobriety gave me a lot. You know, all I signed up for is I didn't want to go back to jail, and I wanted to have a job. If I could have gotten that out of AA, I would have stayed. And all this other stuff I got, like, you know, being able to look at myself in the mirror and say I love myself, didn't ask for that. You know, having my family not scared or going to die every weekend or every night, I didn't ask for any of that. You know, I, you know, just being able to be a productive member of society and ask for any of that, I was just blessed with that, you know. And if I would have just gotten what I asked for, I'd be pretty miserable with parents. And, you know, it's not a VMA meeting, it's honor to speak, and so, yeah, thank you.